morning. Our reading this morning will be John 16, 12 through 15. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father in mine, that is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Dave. Will you pray with me, please? Loving and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be suitable and acceptable to you on this day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It wouldn't be long, and Jesus knew it. For 3 years he had taught throughout all of Israel. For 3 years he had healed the sick and fed the hungry. For 3 years he pointed people to the kingdom of God. But the time was now coming. It wouldn't be long now, and he knew it. The end was in sight. It was time for the chapter to close on his earthly ministry. But how was he going to explain that to his friends? How would he explain that he was leaving? Would they feel deserted? Would they feel betrayed? Would they be able to see that there was a much bigger plan, a much longer story than they could presently see? Our scripture this morning that Dave read from the book of John, it was just hours before the arrest of Jesus. The group had eaten what we call the Last Supper. And Peter had gotten everybody to pose on one side of the table so that they could have their picture taken. I'm talking about the Da Vinci picture. No, seriously. Jesus was trying to explain to them the events that were about to happen. Trying, I'm sure, to ease their fears, to let them know that whatever happened, that he was still going to be in control. And that was all part of the plan. Just like we light the Christ candle to remind us that God is still in control and that God is continuously part of the plan. Now, I'm not so sure how successful Jesus was in trying to explain all of that to them, because I think that they still thought that Jesus was going to be this king on a throne. But you see, most of all, what he wanted them to know was that he really wasn't leaving them alone. And really, isn't that the fear that we all have? The fear of being deserted? The fear of being left to our own devices? And so it was almost, I've got bad news and I've got good news kind of deal. Jesus told them that the time had come that he had been telling them about. And you know, he kept telling them. They were told. They were warned. He kept telling them that he was going to have to die. But in the same breath, he would assure them that they would not be alone. The passage this morning tells us about Jesus promising his disciples that he would never leave them alone. And that same promise is for each and every one of us here today. The promise that even though he wouldn't be here in physical form, that the Holy Spirit would be here to give guidance and comfort, the things that we need in our life every day as Christ followers. Several years ago, there were two Bible translators that were working in Asia. And they were having great difficulty translating the book of Acts, because in that particular dialect, there was no word for the Holy Spirit. And the concept seemed to be very foreign and beyond anything that they could translate to them. Which raises the question, how can you translate a book without a term for the main character? Anybody know who John Reed was? The Lone Ranger. Nobody knows John Reed, but we know the Lone Ranger. Sometimes you have to have a translation. To the translators, they looked at the original Greek, along with similar languages that were in the region, and they tried doing all kinds of things. They translated it to be God's good wind and God's breath or God's good spirit. But none of those worked because people thought they were talking about a great sailing day, or that it was just the concept of God's breath to them was just bizarre. They could not understand that. The people had no general term for spirit. They had terms for bad spirits or evil spirits, but nothing using a more generic word for a good or benevolent spirit. And so what the people began to understand was it just meant good attitude, to have a good attitude. So after a lot of work and a lot of prayer, they came up with the phrase, God's perfect spirit. And it worked. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit wasn't an attitude or a force, but it became a reality. It became a person. It became a part of the Trinity for those folks in Asia. Now, most of us sitting here today don't have a problem with the term Holy Spirit. But do we really understand who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does? In the scripture that was read this morning, Jesus is telling the disciples that his time on earth is coming to an end. And it is there that we receive the promise of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, to be honest, the majority of us have a grip on God the Father, Jesus the Son, and we don't really have any issues with those, but sometimes we have trouble when we start talking about the Holy Spirit. It becomes a little bit fuzzy for us, a little bit vague. So we're going to look at it a little bit closer this morning. Promise of the Holy Spirit throughout the Gospels and into the book of Acts, Jesus promises that the disciples won't be left alone. He keeps telling them that over and over again. And sometimes we get the idea that the Holy Spirit was a last-minute thing. You know, when we hear the scripture that we read last week, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, by the way, the Holy Spirit's going to come. You're not going to be alone. It'll be okay. It was just something that just popped up. But the Holy Spirit is talked about throughout Scripture. In Luke 11:13, it says, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who seek him?" Before Jesus even began his earthly ministry, he was announced by John, his cousin John, who said, "I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So it shouldn't have come as any surprise when Jesus was arrested, that he was going to tell them, "If you love me, obey my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you, who will always be with you, who will never leave you alone." And so, as we look at that, we understand that it's so much more than just a last-minute thought on Jesus' part. And even if we go back even farther, there's other references. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But one of modern-day theologians is A.W. Tozer, T-O-Z-E-R, and he wrote a book called The Counselor, all about the Holy Spirit. And he said that the Holy Spirit is not enthusiasm, he is not courage, He's not energy. He's not the personification of all good qualities. Actually, the Holy Spirit is not the personification of anything. He is a person, the same as you and I, except without material substance. He is one being and not another. He has will and intelligence. He has hearing. He has knowledge and sympathy and ability to love and see and think and hear and speak and desire and grieve and rejoice with us. You know, oftentimes we think of the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Trinity. And we always say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But, you know, it's only listed that way once in the Bible. Other times it is listed as Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus. In Matthew 28:19, when Jesus is giving his last instructions to the disciples, he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." So that's the only time where it's mentioned, the Trinity is mentioned in that order. You know, sometimes people think of the Holy Spirit as, I like to think of it as that little still small voice that continues to speak to me, that guides me and leads me. And I think that as we look more at this, it begins to tell us that the Holy Spirit is far more than just that silent voice. It is, even though Tozer says it's not an encourager, we get that encouragement from the Holy Spirit. We get that strength from the Holy Spirit that we need. As Jesus is preparing to go away, he wants them to understand and to know of what power that they are being given by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes, and because Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Power. It's an incredible concept. And everyone who thinks that they don't have any and don't have what it takes to live the life that Christ expects of them, you're probably right. We don't have the power. The only way we have that power is through the Holy Spirit giving us the strength that we need. And we don't get just a little bit of power. We get buckets of power. Wonderful, incredible, dynamic, world-changing power. We get the strength to do the things that we need to do through the power of the Holy Spirit, to conquer the bad habits that we have, the power that we need to start good habits, the power that we need to tell others about Jesus. That's when I depend most upon the Holy Spirit, when I can tell people that I don't really know about this Jesus that I love, about this God that I love, and what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Because it's hard for people to understand and to believe in something that they can't see and they can't touch. But the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do that. I think that we are approaching a time in our church where these words that I began with this morning, talking about knowing that changes were coming. We know that changes are coming here at Northwest. But we will not be alone to go through the changes that we're going to go through. Because the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit fills the sanctuary. The Holy Spirit fills your hearts. It gives you the strength and the power that we're going to need to walk through this time of transition and to continue to be the people that God has called us to be, to continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to continue to do things like Vacation Bible School and share the good news with little guys, to be able to continue to feed the folks at Laurel Woods Apartments, to continue to provide school supplies, but most importantly, to continue to share the news. Because you already have that power. It's not dependent upon who your pastor is for you to do that. The power that you have comes to you from the Holy Spirit. So as we move through this time of transition, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit and the power of that Holy Spirit to walk through. In a little bit, when the service is finished, we're going to gather, and I'm going to share a little bit of the plan that the cabinet has worked out for us here at Northwest. And I'm going to ask you right now, I'm going to ask those of you that are watching online, keep praying for your church. Keep praying for your pastor. Keep praying for how we're going to move forward together. Because I'm still the same person, you're still the same people, and we are a people filled with the Holy Spirit. We are a people filled with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's where our strength comes from. Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, we thank you so much that you sent us Jesus, that you sent us your Holy Spirit, that provides the strength that we need. In good times or in bad, we know that we will never be left alone, that you are always with us to the very end. Help us, Lord, as we continue to move forward one step at a time, not looking back, but looking forward, feeling and hearing your guidance, and taking one step after another to be who and whose we are. It's in your name we pray. Amen.